O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our minds and our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one of the first things I always think about when I read Psalm 46 is actually the King James version of this psalm, because it talks about God breaking the bow and the arrow, and in your version and most newer versions it says burning the shields with fire, but in the King James it said to burn the chariots with fire. And so I always think back to that 1981 movie about the Olympic team from England running in the Olympics, and about Eric Liddell, who was a devout Christian, and the turmoil that he had because his race was scheduled to be run on Sunday and he had never competed on a Sunday. He'd always held it as Sabbath. And the dilemma that he has in that moment about how to be faithful to God and to serve God. He does find a way to serve God and to run in the Olympics. And once he was through with the Olympics, he went to Africa and he spent the rest of his life as a missionary. He understood that indeed God was his rock and his fortress and his refuge, and that God was beside him all of the way. I read the 46th Psalm and I'm reminded that it is the basis for the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It was key to Luther and to his Reformation. Martin Luther in the 16th century came to believe that we are saved by grace alone. He began to challenge some of the corrupt practices of the Catholic Church in his own day. And indeed, when we come to October 31st of this year, some churches will remember it as Reformation Day, the day that Martin Luther put his 42 theses on the Wittenberg door and challenged the Catholic Church to live differently. We remember his life, that he sought to revitalize the church and help it to be faithful. And I am reminded both by the song and by Psalm 46 that wasn't an easy thing for him. Sometimes it split his world apart. It literally meant that armies came against him. More than once, he had to go into hiding in order to save his life. In spite of all of the turmoil, in spite of all the trials, he remained faithful. And his voice remains an important one in how we understand the Christian faith and how we understand salvation by grace. I come to the 46th Psalm and I remember all the many ways that it has resonated in my life. It's probably one of the Psalms, other than the 23rd Psalm, that I have used most frequently as I have prayed with people in hospitals, at their bedsides, as they come to the end of their life. Because there are those moments when you know that an illness or cancer or some other disease has radically altered a person's world in a way that they never could have foreseen. And it feels like their world is breaking apart. And it is important in those moments to hear the proclamation of this psalm that God is our refuge and our strength. And no matter what changes in our world, God will continue to fight for us and to be with us and to be in control of this world. So as I sit beside people who are struggling with illness or the nearness of death. That's what we proclaim as Christians. That God, as Eugene Peterson put it, the God of the angel armies fights for us. And that God is our refuge. I look at the 46th Psalm, and even as I read it this week, I thought, I know this psalmist wasn't familiar with action movies or disaster movies or even the world around us, and yet all of that is in this psalm. The turmoil that is present in the world, mountains falling into the sea, armies rising up. And I don't have to look very far from my Bible to know that that's the kind of world that we live in. As Dorian and other hurricanes have come through, as there has been flooding and tornadoes and destruction, I see the pictures every night on the nightly news of people that have lost their homes. I see that sense of their worlds being ripped apart and changed forever, and knowing that they will need to live differently. And I'm always also aware that even after the stories are off the nightly news, there still needs to be rebuilding. That people can struggle for years to put their lives back together. I was listening to an interview this week with a woman from the Bahamas who had finally made it to the United States. And she talked about how much she loved the Bahamas, but she said, I don't need to go back there. That sense of trauma, that sense that her life had changed forever, and that she would need to build a new one. In the midst of that change, in the midst of that struggle, the promise that is given to us in the psalm comes through, that God is with us, that God fights for us and acts for us. Never just us alone or our own actions. It is a reminder that as Christians, we too are called to act. That we become the hands and the feet of God as we reach out and help people rebuild. As we help them in times of crisis through UMCOR and through other organizations. God is with us. Always. As I reflected on the life of Martin Luther this week, I was reminded that in addition to being a great church leader, one of the things that we now know about him is that he suffered from major depression. Depression that often made it hard to even get out of bed in the mornings. Sometimes our lives feel like chaos. Sometimes our lives feel like turmoil, and it is hard to see the way forward. But at that moment, the words of the psalm come to us as promise and as prayer and as hope. God is our refuge. God is our strength. We're called in that moment to be aware of God's presence, to pray for God's presence even when we can't see the way through, but to know that God is there and that God is fighting for us. The psalm reminds us that God is there. And I would draw your attention back to the verse that I started our prayer time with, to be still, to know that God is indeed God. In his book on spiritual disciplines, Richard Foster lists one of those disciplines as silence, as stillness. That's a hard thing to accomplish in this world. There's always something that we can be doing or looking at. And again, our lives can be chaotic. Sometimes we think we are our to-do list or all of the activities around us. We think we are human doings instead of human beings. But this psalm reminds us to simply be and to be still and to know God's presence. It's one of the things that we have an opportunity to do every single week in worship, is to still our lives, to still our hearts and our minds, and simply be in God's presence. It's one of the things that we have an opportunity to do in our daily devotionals. To carve out those moments and times in our life where we are simply with God, or we simply be. Because one of the things that Richard Foster says in his book is that having those times of practice helps us to bring that silence, helps us to bring that stillness into the moments that are chaotic, into the moments that are busy, and to know that even in those moments, even when the world feels like it is falling apart, that God is present, that God is at work, that God is our refuge and our strength. The psalmist says that God is present in the city, that there is a stream that make the hearts of the believers glad. For the psalmist, that was probably a reference to Jerusalem and God's rule there. But as I prayed that psalm, I was reminded that as Christians, we too believe that we are the temple of God, that God dwells in our lives, that God reigns in our lives. And to invite God to be our refuge and our fortress. It is a reminder that as we gather as a church, that God has also promised to be present here. That Christ has promised to be our living water and our defender, and is here, working with us and through us and around us, so that we can accomplish the promises of the kingdom and know God's presence. God is our mighty fortress. God is our refuge and our strength. God is around us through grace and through love, through mercy and defense, that we might be triumphant and might live as God's people. Amen.